want to welcome any guests that are here at Christ the King this weekend. We are glad that you're here with us to worship God on this fifth Sunday of Lent. Kentucky won last night, which made me first in both pools. That has absolutely nothing to do with my homily, but I wanted to brag. It's interesting that during Lent, it's often a time of renewal for many of us. We use that time, and it's awesome to see the faith that you guys have and how it awakens during Lent, where we really focus on our spiritual lives and making them better. And one of the themes this year I've noticed, not for me, but for you, what God's doing in you, is many people will call me up and ask, Father, how do I pray? Or how can I pray better? Over and over, I've been meeting with people about how we can pray better. And one of the keys to good prayer is using Scripture to pray. Yet, many of us, we pull out our Bibles and we start reading and we're lost right away. And so a couple suggestions today. Number one, start with the Gospels and what we call the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Start with one of those. And then maybe each day or each week, pick one section to read. You'll find in the Bible, especially in the Gospels, they have bold headings, especially if you have a New American Bible. It'll have a bold heading like, Jesus raises Lazarus. Okay, that's a story. Read that story as a whole. And then when you do read it, a lot of times we still find ourselves wondering, well, what does this mean? I don't get this or that. Praying with Scripture, not just reading it, but praying with it is also key. We call this Lectio Divina, or the divine reading of Scripture. Why divine? Because you have to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to know what it means. And one of the most fruitful ways that I've found, and you'll see this reflected in a lot of the homilies that we preach here at Christ the King, is when you put yourself in the shoes of the characters in the gospel. And what's really cool is this can be fruit for the whole week. You can take one story like the rising of Lazarus, and on Monday, you could be Mary. On Tuesday, you can be Martha. On Wednesday, you can be the crowd. On Thursday, you can be the disciples. And on Friday, you can be Jesus. And you read it each day over and over. And I tell you what, by Saturday, you're going to have a depth of knowledge and feeling and experience in that scripture that will go well above what you can get out of Sunday Mass. And if you start that on the Monday before the reading on Sunday, think how much more you'd get out of this liturgy. Now, sometimes people can be challenged like this because they say, well, I don't know what Mary was thinking, or I don't know what she was feeling. I don't know what it looked like around there. St. Ignatius would say, you know, fill in the blanks. Let your imagination have some fun. There's nothing wrong with that. God gave you imagination for a reason. And so when you're reading these scriptures, imagine what it looked like around you. Imagine how you felt like as that person. And as you read through the scripture, you're going to notice little things. Like, for instance, at the beginning of our gospel today, it says that Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus. He was down in Jerusalem. They were up in Judea, north of Jerusalem. And they said, your friend Lazarus is dying. Jesus had a deep connection with him. And yet it says that he remained there two more days. Now, if you're putting yourselves in the shoes of, say, Martha and Mary, and Jesus finally comes and they say, well, or maybe the servant comes back and says, well, I delivered the message. And they say, well, is he coming? No, he's waiting a couple days. How does that make you feel as Martha or Mary? And see, little things like that, as you start to put yourself in their shoes or their sandals, you start to feel what it was like to be in that scripture story. Today, as we reflect on the resurrection or the rising of Lazarus. Let us first look at Mary. This is not Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. This is Mary, his friend. Many people believe it to be Mary Magdalene, the Mary that had the seven demons driven out from her. And remember the story before about Martha and Mary. It's a story that's familiar to many of us in our households whenever we have family gatherings. Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, just enjoying being with him, and Martha's cooking in the kitchen. And she gets upset because Mary's not helping her. And Jesus is very clear. He says, Mary has chosen the better part. And you kind of see the same thing reflected today. And you might be tempted to think, well, is Mary just lazy? I mean, in the other story, in the dinner story, she's sitting there at the feet of Jesus, not helping out. Today, in today's story, it says Jesus arrived in town and Mary stayed at home. Martha ran out to at least greet him. Mary stayed home. Is she lazy? Or perhaps does she have this kind of total trust in Jesus, this total abandonment that, you know what? He's going to do what he's going to do. And I trust him. How many of us have that kind of faith? And it's not a disinterestedness, if that's a word, like she doesn't care or, you know, she doesn't want to be attentive to Jesus. But I think ultimately God calls us to this type of faith that Mary had, to just be totally abandoned, to say, God, I trust you to do whatever is best. And then in contrast, we see Martha. Put yourselves in the shoes of Martha. You've sent word to Jesus to come. He waited 2 days, and then he took a couple days to get up there. By now, your brother's dead. And you know that Jesus loved your brother. He was a very close friend of Jesus. And so you run out, and you're like, if you'd been here, you could have done something. Why didn't you come? And she's all anxious and upset. Remember the words of Jesus to Martha when he came over for dinner. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. How many of us can identify with that? How many of us go to Jesus often in distress and say, Jesus, if only you'd done something. But the neat thing about Martha, is that you see her turn right around and show faith. She says to Jesus, if only you'd been here, you could have done something, but even now, I know that God will give you what you ask of him. I mean, right away, in mid-sentence, it kind of clicks for her. She says, wait a second, I know you'll do what's best. She has a conversion. Right in the middle of a sentence. And how many of us experience that same thing? We're anxious, we're worried, we go crying to God, but you know, once we start talking to God, we start talking to Jesus, we realize, you know what? He's in control. I need to let go. And we may even struggle a little bit after that conversion. Notice how Martha says, but I know, you know, God will give you whatever you ask of him, and that my brother will rise on the last day. And, you know, she still thinks, oh, you know, the resurrection to come. And Jesus is kind of still like, Martha, I've even got one better for you. I'm going to raise him up today. God will always outdo you in generosity. If you show him the littlest bit of faith, like Martha did, she went from being anxious and worried to saying, Jesus, I know you can do whatever God asks you, to Jesus saying, I'm not just going to rise him from the dead in the second coming. I'm going to rise him today. Jesus will take your little bit of faith, and like he says, the mustard seed, make it multiply. And then there's the crowd. Probably villagers there in Judea, maybe even extended family members. Some of them probably knew Jesus. And they stand there and they say, you know what, Jesus, you could have done better. You could have gotten here quicker. You could have come and saved him. Why didn't you? They ridicule Jesus for not doing better. How many of us feel that way sometimes? I know it's a temptation for me sometimes to think, you know, things just don't seem to be going well, and you think God's in control, and you've asked him to be in control, and then things fall apart, and you say, Jesus, do you really know what you're doing? Because I've got some advice if you'd like to hear it. Isn't that a temptation for many of us sometimes? It's interesting that twice it says that Jesus was perturbed. So if your pastor ever gets perturbed, just know Jesus did it too. I looked up the word perturbed because in my mind, perturbed almost seems angry. And it doesn't mean angry. It means frustrated. He was frustrated because of their lack of faith. Because they just didn't even trust him. And how many of us struggle with that sometimes? So no matter which person or group in our gospel today you identify with, what's interesting is that Jesus still worked a miracle for all three groups. For Mary, who was comfortable just sitting in the house and letting go. For Martha, who came out anxious but showed a change of heart, knowing and trusting in Jesus. And the crowd who pretty much rejected him and said, you know what, you screwed up, Jesus. And yet he works a miracle in front of all three groups. So no matter what kind of faith you come to Jesus with, if you are willing to come to him and be honest about what's in your heart, and if you're willing to undergo that conversion like Martha did, he can still work a miracle for you. He is patient with those who ridicule him. He'll bring a change of heart to those who show openness to him. And he will give great peace to those who totally trust him. In this last week of Lent, which gift do you need to ask him for? Patience, a change of heart, total trust.